Freedom Outdoors is brought to you in part by Jack's Outdoor Gear. 65 years of serving the outdoor public. And by the way, they're going to join us in the next hour, and we're going to talk about the gear they have for beginning ice fishermen. Speaking of ice fishermen, joining us from Colorado Clays, you normally hear him come on and talk about shooting, but him and I had a great time out in the ice, so we're going to talk about that. It's J.R. Pierce. Good morning, J.R.
Hey, good morning, Terry.
You know, J.R., I give you a hard time, but you're a very accomplished angler. You do a lot of fishing. It's obvious when I spend time with you on the water, whether it's open water or ice, that you really understand fishing and presentations. But you've kind of been, you haven't really gotten into ice fishing yet. You maybe dipped your toe a little bit, but we set up a time to go out to a small lake, you and I, and really kind of go through the fundamentals of ice fishing and how to approach a lake and things like that. And I thought a lot of great knowledge, because it turned out to be a great learning trip, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, Terry, that was just a great day on the ice. And I must say, it was a great learning experience for a novice ice fisherman like me. And I must say, we did answer most of my questions and, you know, concerns about it, and really corrected many of my misconceptions. I'm sure I'm not the only person in that boat. You have never really been out there, been in control of the electronics, seen things with the type of gear you had, and I think you might have me hooked now.
Well, I'm kind of counting on that, so we're going to have more trips and we're going to use your gear next time.
Perfect.
Yeah. But, you know, I want to kind of go through a few points, you know, and I want to set the stage a little bit. So first of all, we started this trip in an area, and I'll tell you why we thought there would be fish in this area in a second. In an area we thought there would be fish, and we saw some on our electronics, got a couple to bite. It was really not working well. We made some moves trying to locate more fish, really had trouble finding more active fish or even schools of fish. We returned and used our electronics to work on our presentation and easily ended up catching a couple dozen or more fish. So it was a great classic example of how you adjust and what you do. And the first thing was homework. This is a lake that it's a small lake that you and I had fished in a boat together before, and you also had some information from other anglers. And I think, JR, that any time, summer or winter, you go out, if you can do a little homework and get a little information going in, it really helps, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Terry, I think homework is definitely important. And I think the homework that you and I did in the open water, you know, just learning a little bit about it, definitely paid off on the ice as well. And, you know, and I have to say, Terry, you were talking about bouncing around and looking and seeing, you know, that was one of my misconceptions, was that, you know, on an ice fishing trip, you're kind of tethered to a hole. Once you get there and unload everything and had to do this, you didn't have the mobility that we had. When we got there, you did say you were going to travel light. You had a sled that had all the room we needed, but not too much stuff. Even had a seat on it. This blew me away. So, yeah, definitely homework, but then being able to move around and have the mobility, traveling light the way you set us up, was really the ticket to the day, I think.
Well, I think it was, too. I think another thing, too, that we had tried to plan this trip for a week earlier, and the ice was a little sketchy. And so we went out there. We found really good, safe ice. At least we felt it was, and we checked it. But what did you think about using the spud bar to check the ice?
Well, Terry, I can't say enough about, because that's another one of my concerns when I was going to be ice fishing, was the ice and the safety, you know, personal safety. And I will say, Terry, I did go watch one of your ice videos prior to it, and, you know, kind of watch how you use that bar and how you check ice. And, yeah, I felt much more comfortable because from the very beginning, the first foot out, you started checking the ice, went ahead and did test holes for thickness. And even that spud bar on top of all of that was great to punch a quick test hole for a look down. So, yes, Bud Barr, first thing I'm going to buy. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what, if you're going to fish the Front Range of Colorado, I just recommend that. That's the one tool that can keep you safe. And you're right. You don't even really need an auger when you're on, you know, just a few inches of ice, because the Spud Bar can easily punch a hole. Speaking of augers, you know, you can spend a lot of money on power augers. And if you're going to go fish lake trout at Granby and the pike at 11 Mile, you probably need some form of a power auger. And we're going to talk about that next hour with some of the other guests. But we took a 6-inch hand auger, and because you have one, but I brought mine. And I said, you know, for these quick outings on the Front Range, what a great way. How easy was it to drill a hole with that 6-inch auger?
Again, Terry, two things on that. First of all, with us traveling light, because we did have to pull our stuff up a hill, so it took a ton of weight out of there. But, yeah, I was totally flabbergasted. My auger is still in the box. Now I can't wait to get it out. And I was surprised at how few cranks it took to get through a few inches of ice. Another thing that I really did not realize, I've got bad shoulders, and I thought that was going to be a chore, but nothing to it. I was very impressed with how quick and easy a really inexpensive hand auger will work, and I'm definitely the way I'm going to go.
Yeah, and if you really get into it and you want to go after big fish on deep water up on top of the mountains where you get, you know, a foot or two of ice, then consider a power auger. At most times, I've owned one of each, and I'm looking at the electric ones. But again, we'll talk about more about that next hour. Let's kind of talk a little bit about the fishing. We went and we drilled. I probably started out drilling, I don't know, 6 or 8 holes, and then you drilled some. But we started out, and talk about your experience using the electronics.
Well, I think that's probably the most amazing thing to me, Terry. I'll tell you what, I always heard, oh, got to have the flasher, this, that. And I know some buddies have them. But, you know, until I looked at your unit, which the screen actually has the same kind of visual appearance and the same feedback as the sonar on my boat. And so I immediately could identify fish. I could read the graph. And that was one of the things, there's no doubt in my mind. And I don't know what the difference, what you would call that compared to the flasher, because I've never done that. But I was able to actually see fish, see where they were, even drop presentations, watch them come up and look at that. And, of course, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about adjusting the presentations, but I was just flabbergasted at how immediately I was able to go from hole to hole and quickly find fish, try and find some aggressive fish. And it was so familiar to me based on, you know, the unit that I have on my boat. I was immediately reading the graph, identifying fish from structure, from my bait. And, yeah, that was probably one of the most incredible things out of our whole trip, was showing me that version of a fish finder for ice fishing.
Yeah, now, in the past, I used the flasher. I still own two because they responded quicker, and the LED or LCD screens that you see on typical boat-type depth finders didn't respond fast enough. But now they're so quick that you can take a Lowrance or a Humminbird or a Markham or whatever you have and get those full screens. And I think most anglers identify with those easier than a flasher-type presentation. And they really not only show if you fish are there, but also the mood they're in and how they're responding. And that prompted us to go back and change lures and watch the fish respond. Tell them how that worked.
Absolutely, Terry. So, like you said, we were in several places. We did find some fish. And to start with, I could see my lure going down. I could work the lure, bring it up, watch the fish actually come up, take a look at it. A couple of them bumped into it, but wouldn't take it. And what we learned was between changing our presentation and changing our baits, that we were able to finally come up with a combination that would provoke the strikes and get us our fish. And one thing you told me, Terry, and I thought this was really, really important about the unit we used, is you don't just have the instant picture like a flasher does. You actually can see across the screen what was going on. So if I had a fish follow me, I could actually look over and see how high he would come into the column following that bait, or how deep he was in the column to start with, and have that little history. And it was just amazing to me how we were able to take, find the fish, find what they wanted, and then capitalize on it and put several different species on the ice in a pretty short time. So it was very impressive.
Now, we have about 2 minutes left. I have two questions for you. One's about where your current location is at Colorado Clays, but the first is, what's your general overall thoughts of ice fishing now?
Terry, a general overall thoughts versus where I was is that it's a whole different game than I realized. I always thought it was just going to be this very slow, trudging, cross your fingers for a bite thing. I now realize that it's basically open water fishing on the ice rather than in a boat, and that's really how I feel. And you did show me that it doesn't take that much money to get into it. So, yes, I'm already shopping and purchasing items.
Karen said, I bet he's bought stuff already, Karen said. The other thing we didn't get much time to talk about was the flip-up style shelters that I like. They really give you mobility, don't they?
No, and that one you have, it's so compact. I like the footprint, very stable, yet plenty of room for everything you need, a built-in seat, and it only takes a moment to flip a shelter over yourself for weather, sun, whatever. Definitely the first thing I'm buying is something similar to that.
All right, my friend. Normally you come on and talk to us about shooting at Colorado Clays. We will do that again next week. But if people are interested, if they've got a shotgun, rifle, or pistol, where would they find Colorado Clays and how can they find you?
All right. Well, we're just north of DIA, east of Brighton, 25-minute drive from downtown. Very easy drive. Always go to the website, coloradoclays.com. Check out what we have. Take the virtual tour. Or simply give us a call and tell us what you're thinking, and we'll get you fixed up. And that number is 303-659-7117.
And I'll bet you'd be willing to talk some ice fishing if people stop by.
You can bank on it, Terry.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. We got to get out again soon.
Yep, sounds good, Terry. Thank you.
You bet. We're going to take a quick time out, and we come back. Nate Zielinski's going to join us, and we're going to continue talking ice fish, both tournaments and techniques, here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.